Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
A pristine beach. Now we have fishermen taking up half front on dry land, half of the beach, other large groups taking up sometimes one third to one half to beach with tents, loud music, profanity, alcohol, trash left on the beach. Vandalism and trespassing to include beach supplies stolen, the public parking in our private parking lot, public walking on our boardwalks beneath our building to leave the beach, public using our private boardwalk for picnic.
So you might remember a couple of weeks ago at the Escambia County Commission meeting, you had a number of people show up who were on the side of allowing customary use, on the side of allowing the dry part of the beach to be used by the public, especially around access number one, which is the one where you kind of, you know, it's right when you go into Johnson Beach. Okay, if you turn left at the roundabout, if you're going south, if you're going north, you turn, or east, you turn right. Anyway, you know what I mean. That's the one where it's a, like a narrow walkway, and then you walk out to the beach, and it's like the corridor of freedom. And then you get out to the beach, and, you know, there are apparently, I have not been there to see it, but I trust the accounting, that there are basically police tape and signs and don't come here and stay in your lane. And then they complained that, you know, condo owners were paying people to put up chairs, you know, set up chairs to discourage people from using the area, and they're feeling harassed, and there was a sheriff's deputy out there. And when we talked to the sheriff about this, he said, well, look, you know, the problem is the law is not clear. And, you know, we don't know what we're allowed to enforce or not, or we certainly don't want fights. And we're trying to keep people, you know, away from each other. But you have this fight between the condo owners, which own the beach, you know, they have a title. And then you have the public that wants to use the beach, and they believe with the customary use laws that they should be able to use it. And there's a lot of bickering, a lot of fighting, which is kind of often the case when it comes to beaches that are owned by privates but want to be used by public. Now, the difference at Santa Rosa Island, you know, Pensacola Beach, is that it is owned by the county. It's public. So you don't have this fight. The only place you have any kind of, I mean, and you don't really have it, but it'd be like, you know, Fort Pickens, because you got to pay to get in. But the whole stretch of beach, the entire, you know, all of it at Pensacola Beach is all you can walk up and down it because it's owned by the public. There's no private ownership to the waterline. Okay, so those folks showed up and they were complaining that, you know, we bought condos too. We just didn't buy beachfront condos. They're off the beach, and so we want to be able to, we expected to be able to use it. And there's a fight. Because the people who bought beachfront property are like, well, it's our property. You're walking through our backyard. Now, this is different than down the way where you have the 75-foot access where it was, you know, discovered, I guess, pretty late, you know, recently, the last couple of years, that those lots contained an access for the public of 75 feet past the waterline. So you may own it to the water, but the public is allowed to walk on it. And so these are two different situations. Then you have the legislature puts in this customary use law that, short version, you know, allows it to be declared that there is a habit of the public using the beach, even if it belongs to private property owners. And so now you have this kind of uncertainty, and people are asking for the county to make it clear, to pass an ordinance. There was a lawsuit. The lawsuit got dropped. West Moreno tells us that at least the 75-foot portion is a done deal. You know, that is in practice right now, but that doesn't cover this part of the beach. So what do you do? People want to have access to the water. Other people own the access to the water. How do you solve this problem? Well, a handful of people showed up. I mean, a number, not meaning it to be a small number. They showed up at the county commission meetings giving the other side, which is we're the owners. You know, people are a problem when they show up. They're messy. They leave things. They're loud. They're obnoxious. That Connie Walker, the president of the Perdido Key Associates, she says, we own it. It's our backyard. How can the county tell people that they can go walking through our backyard?
We own the beach property. How can the county dictate who could access and use our private property, which we purchase and for which we pay taxes annually? I do believe the state and our county should provide beaches for the public. Why not direct the public to the beautiful state park? Instead of violating one of our principles our country was founded on, property rights, why not purchase beach property to be used by the public approach the state of Florida to purchase a portion of the Perdido State Park?
Okay, so one alternative is let's purchase the beachfront property, or let's transfer the control or ownership from the state to the county so that we can have better access, because, you know, that area is basically prohibited from us for the most part, except for a couple of access points. Of course, the people who, for example, that protested a couple of weeks ago, they bought condos thinking they could walk to the beach at Beach Access 1. They get there, it's a miserable experience. They're not eager to drive to the beach. They want to be able to walk to the beach. So this may not be an answer for them. Now, for the rest of the residents in the county, what do you care whether it's access point number one or it's down the way at the state park? It's only a few miles away. But still, it is a difference, especially for the people who live there. Jennifer Jackson, another owner.
There's no shortage of public beach access on Perdido Key. Between Johnson Beach and the state park and the four beach accesses, almost 60% of the beachfront is available to the public. And that's great. And it's great also in the way that it's contained to those areas. And the park rangers or the county are responsible for keeping those areas clean and minimizing the damage that's done to the environment and the wildlife in that way. But if you open up all the beaches to the public, you're placing that burden on the beachfront property owners to clean up after the public, to fill in the holes, and you're putting the entire key at risk of the negative effects that visitors can have on the environment.
From a conservation perspective, from a cleanliness perspective, from an annoyance of the property owners, because even though people might be in some cases allowed to go on the sand, then they, or, you know, they go up to the boardwalk, or they go up to the backyard, or they steal stuff, or they're, you know, do you, again, to take the analogy, just because you don't have a fence around your backyard, do you want people walking through it, leaving stuff, leaving energy drinks? You know, like, is that your desired outcome? Well, that's what they experience. She says the property owners feel very responsible, so they typically walk along the beach and clean things up. But should they have to be doing the job that's done by Escambia County Maintenance or Island Maintenance, whatever, out on, you know, for example, Pensacola Beach, where every morning they go out with a lot of equipment and clean up after the dirty, filthy public? Because the public is filthy and dirty. Have you ever met them? They sure are. You know, we can tell them leave only your footprints all we like, but, you know, many do. Most do. It's the few that are the problem. Well, same thing at Perdido Key. And she says, look, we can even be held accountable. You know, sometimes we get code violations or HOA or something. I don't remember who the agency was she said, but if we leave stuff out there, you know, we get in trouble for not policing the beach that we're told we have to let the public have access to. So what's the solution? Oh, man, there's no easy one. I mean, there just isn't. This is an incompatible interests problem. Essentially, and I thought Stephen Barry actually did a pretty good job of summing it up at the, sort of the end of the meeting. He's like, well, look, the people who own property where their property lines go out to the water, they want their property lines to belong to them because they bought it and they pay taxes on it. And that's a very understandable view. The public tends to think of, you know, why is this bit of sand mine and that bit of sand yours? And we've been coming down here for years. People have been coming down here for years. And now all of a sudden you're exerting control over land that we thought we had access to, that the legislature has said we have access to. Bro, give us our sand. Let us have access to the water. Well, who's right is a legal question and or a political question to be determined. But it's one or the other. It's an up or down. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody's going to be decided to have power and somebody's or access, and somebody's going to be decided not to. And it's worth mentioning that in history, I know I certainly didn't live here long ago. I've only lived here for 11 years. But if you go back, you know, 50 or 60 years, the beach was something that nobody wanted. Either beach. You know, nobody owned anything on the beach. Nobody wanted to go to the beach. Why would you live on the beach? There's hurricanes. Are you stupid? And the question of having, you know, beach ownership was so undesirable that we had to do what? We had to give people leases and 99 years and give them deals and entice them to come out and please build on the beach, invest in the beach. And then after they did, then we came back later and we're like, well, we're glad you built out here, but, you know, the public still likes to use the sand that you own and pay taxes on. So maybe we're not so grateful for you building out here. We kind of meant it mostly, but. And you have the issue of whether there's a renourishment, and there's not at Perdido. In fact, this is one of the reasons that, you know, the Perdido Key issue continues to be challenging, is because had there been a renourishment of these beaches, if the county had paid to build back the beach, then the county would have access to it. The people would have access to it. That would be a no-brainer. But it's not a no-brainer because it hasn't been done. In fact, that was one of the, as I understand it, that's one of the reasons that it hasn't been paid for by the county, is because the Perdido Key folks didn't want to give away their control of their property. So here we are. It's an important question. There's a disagreement. There's some gray area and some not. But this is largely a they win or we win, and that's all there is to it. So this is a question that the Escambia County Commission is going to take up at one of their Committee of the Whole meetings in January probably and try to figure out what to do. And I think everybody looks at it as a, man, this figuring this out is terrible. And there is no easy answer, unfortunately. Things as varied as, you know, transfer the state park to county control have come up. Mike Kohler says, I don't know, maybe we can get Johnson Beach transferred from the feds. That's not going to happen. I mean, I think that's not going to happen. First of all, the feds aren't going to be interested in giving it up. Second of all, it's going to cost us a ton of money to maintain it. I mean, it's expensive to go to the national park. I mean, it's like $23, I think, dollars to get in. That's an obscene amount of money to pay to go to a beach. It really is. But you're paying to go to the nationally maintained, right? The, you know, Interior Department is main, the Forest Service is maintaining that stretch of area. And it's wonderful. Of course, if you have a boat, you can go right in. Yeah, there's no control. So buy a paddleboard, and then you can go for free. Anyway, it's a complicated issue. I feel like that's been a theme the last couple of days. This is a complicated issue. There's no easy answer. The people on either side tend to believe that they're the only one that has any merit, and it's usually not quite that simple. But solving it is, you know, some people are going to be unhappy, period. Maybe everybody's going to be unhappy. 822 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars, about 300 cars on the lot that are all young. Like they're new used. They're, you know, a year, two, 3 years young and maybe 10 to 40,000 miles, kind of low at the low end, in good condition. Cars that when you drive them, they always include a warranty of 10 years and 100,000 miles, so they will take care of you because they're selling you cars that they know are going to run for a long time. And if you're kind of in that we're almost ready, that's the time to go. Go look around and get a sense of what's out there, what you know about, what you maybe don't know about. You know, drive a few cars and find out what you like or don't like, because you never know. And I always recommend drive something that's outside of your range. You know, like if you're looking at an SUV, I don't know, try a Jeep. You know, why do people like those ducks? I don't know, but try one. You know, maybe you would love it. Maybe you're like, nope, that's why I don't want a Jeep or a pickup or even, you know, a minivan or something like that. Just do a little experimenting because, you know, you're there. And this is one of the advantages of Frontier is you can drive so many different ones all in one place instead of having to drive around town and meet four different salespeople and tell them your life story and give them your driver's license and explain to them why you're not going to buy their car today. I mean, all the stuff that goes with that. Anyway, Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. By the way, be careful driving this morning. There is a very dense fog all over the place. We have a dense fog advisory this morning. It's worse than yesterday even. You know, you will not be able to see pedestrians, bicyclists, if they don't have lights on and they're wearing dark clothing. You got to just really keep an eye out this morning and be safe. I'm Andrew McKay.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Guys, don't propose with a ring that she didn't pick out. Trust us, she already has a ring in mind. So engage with Gage Diamonds, in person or online, where Gage's skilled ring designers will work with her to create the perfect setting, matched with the perfect stone. Gage specializes in exquisite lab-grown diamonds. Financing available. GageDiamonds.com. We're engagement's middle name.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My father taught me many things here. He taught me in this room. He taught me, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
I do sometimes think about how the vast majority of the movie quotes that I know are in the, you know, 40-plus-year-old range. Like, they're from the 80s or from the 90s, maybe, the vast majority of them. And, you know, and then I get sad because I think that all of the young people who don't know these movies are missing out on the great art of that time, but also missing out on the great wisdom of that time. You know, they don't know what it means to, you know, go to the mattresses, and they don't they don't know. Instead, they know things like, you know, Skibidi and Brain Rot and 6-7, and I don't think that that's a suitable replacement for the wisdom of the Godfather. David Wayne is in
Charlotte,
the newsroom
North
with
Carolina.
Our
David Wayne, that's what's happening.
What's happening now, David?
Sorry. Hello. Good. Good morning. I don't know where that came from.
Was that your end of your recording for Cat Country?
That was.
Very good. All right. Yeah. David has many hats, none of which he wears to work, but he does the news, of course, for Cat Country, our sister station, and for us. And every once in a while, we catch him in the middle of making his news for the other station, which we love because they're great and wonderful. And, you know, we wouldn't exist without them because they came first. So,
absolutely.
Anyway, David, go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you very much. The Department of Homeland Security gearing up to send hundreds of federal agents to Louisiana. Of course, similar deployments have been made this year to other cities around the nation, such as Chicago and Charlotte, North Carolina, the most
Pensacola,
recent.
Florida. They were here yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. They were all around. The government announced it is publishing its October jobs report due to the lengthy shutdown. September's report is set to come out today. The Bureau of Labor Statistics report had been delayed, of course, due to the shutdown, but it was largely completed, so the numbers will be released here later on this morning.
Is it the October one they're going to... What's the one they're going to skip? There's going to be a month that I think they're not going to produce at all. We're just going to skip a month, but anyway.
Oh, yeah, they've got September's. That'll be released probably October's.
Okay, I think you're right about that, but anyway, I remember thinking, oh, that's good. We're just going to have a gap in the data. Cool.
Just be a month behind the rest of...
It'll be like, you know, it'll be like Michael Strahan's smile made all of your data. It'll be like tooth, missing tooth.
Absolutely. And Dick Cheney being laid to rest in Washington this week, Andrew. Funeral services have been set for later today at the National Cathedral. And former President George W. Bush is expected to speak at that service.
All right. Very good. David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh, I was going downtown yesterday because there's a it's not a new charity ministry, but we were trying to find out more information about it, Brightbridge. And I didn't know anything about it, except we were thinking about donating to them, and more on that at 6:35. But because I was downtown, I don't go downtown all that often, I had a couple of other things that I wanted to check out. And one of the things that I checked out was the old Stinky property, because you know how you can know a thing is true and still kind of have to see it for your own eyes? All the time I have lived here, there's been nothing built there. And I, of course, knew that, you know, there was development happening, that buildings were going up. Oh, my God. It's... massive. The Romero is the name of this project, and it's a 282-unit development with 10 different floor plans, and it's built by Crest Residential out of Birmingham. PNJ did a good report on this a little while ago with Jim Little. But if you go, it looks like they've got, I don't know, four, almost at least half the size of Southtown-sized developments that are going up. You know, you see it from forever away. It's enormous. And so it's all on the west side of the old ECUA property. And, you know, just a huge development going on, you know, right downtown. If you hadn't seen it, I've got a video up on my Facebook page if you want to see it. But, you know, I knew it was there. And still, when I got to within a couple of blocks, I was like, holy smokes. This is an enormous change to the skyline. And eventually, you know, that whole property is going to get built out. And it's going to be, gosh, what is the number? I seem to remember the number of like 1,000 to 1,500 units, you know, so townhomes and I'm assuming condos and, you know, shops and, you know, just eventually, say 10 years from now, that whole thing will be like, what do you mean there was a field here before? What do you mean there was a water sewage treatment plant here before? What do you mean it was stinky? The Wahoos are on that side, and there's that reverb thing that's always been there, obviously, and then there's that, you know, that park on the north side. What are you even talking about? Water treatment plant? No, that's my house.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. A message from the U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi.
We will always encourage all victims to come forward.
Directly to the people harmed by the convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Now the AG has 30 days, released the files related to him. Now that President Trump signs a bill into law forcing the DOJ to do so.
President Trump accusing Democrats of sitting on these files for years. This is what he posted on Truth Social. Do not forget the Biden administration did not turn over a single file or page related to Democrat Epstein, nor did they ever even speak about him.
Fox's Doug Luzzatto reporting. The funeral at the Washington National Cathedral this morning for the Vice President, Dick Cheney, who died November 3rd, age of 84. He served under President George W. Bush, who will deliver a tribute. President Trump will not be there. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 62 degrees. It is very foggy out this morning. We'll get to our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson. That is on the way here in just a few minutes. Congressman Jimmy Patrona is pushing back against the Air Force and their plan to move the 492nd Special Operations Wing from Northwest Florida to Arizona. Currently, the unit's based at Hurlburt and at Duke Fields. The relocation would move about 600 jobs to the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base.
This was a Biden-era decision back in 2023. And what I'm questioning is a Biden-era decision back with a totally different global environment that we have right now. Is this the right decision?
That is District 1 Congressman Jimmy Patronis. He talked with Channel 3. He and Senators Rick Scott and Ashley Moody sent a letter to the Air Force questioning the move. They're concerned that moving Special Forces units away from the Caribbean, where tensions are currently growing, could weaken national security. The Air Force announced the plan back in 2023. They say it's focused on mission effectiveness and cost efficiency. Now, the University of West Florida making headlines in cybersecurity. UWF's new AI specialization in its cybersecurity degree program has now been approved as a National Center of Academic Excellence in Cyber Artificial Intelligence by the National Security Agency. That distinction runs through 2030. UWF is the second university in the nation to receive that approval, one of only six institutions nationwide to get it this year. The program combines artificial intelligence and cybersecurity training to address a critical need for skilled professionals. UWF leaders say that the university is leading the way in preparing graduates for careers in those in-demand fields. Alabama and Florida are among 20 states fighting Colorado's decision to block a Christian preschool from its universal program. The Colorado school was told to abandon its religious policies on bathrooms and dress codes to participate. Attorney General Steve Marshall says Colorado's move threatens religious freedoms across the nation. including, of course, Florida and Alabama. The coalition argues that the requirement violates the First Amendment and sets a dangerous precedent. They say religious schools have long partnered with states on early childhood education, and families deserve real choices, not government coercion. Now, the Coast Guard with a historic haul at Port Everglades yesterday. The nearly 50,000 pounds of cocaine worth about $360 million being called the Coast Guard's largest cocaine seizure by a single cutter in one operation.
Removing this much cocaine from the global supply chain does more than interrupt a shipment. It weakens entire organizations.
Terry Cole is the DEA administrator. He says that will also protect communities all throughout the nation. Well, six people hurt after a fire in Tallahassee that started last night at a student apartment complex called the Social Seminole. There's no word on the conditions of the people who were hurt, but Tallahassee police do say everyone is expected to survive. Right now, there's no word on how the fire started. 5:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a check on our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richards.
Dense fog advisory through the morning hours. We should be seeing fog clear out as we go into the late morning. High this afternoon near 76 degrees near partly cloudy skies. Going overnight tonight, fog could redevelop. Dense fog possible as we go into your Friday morning. Temperatures tonight near 62 degrees. Friday afternoon, 78 degrees for your high. 20% chance of a stray shower on Friday afternoon. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 66. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now we've got 61 degrees. It is a foggy start to our morning. Your next news at 6. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Industrial battery maker Eos Energy Enterprises has announced the federal government will buy 570,000 cut-rate shares in the company, which is relocating its headquarters to Pittsburgh. Eos shares were trading at $12.75 on the NASDAQ stock exchange as of market close on Wednesday, which is down 5% on the day, but still up 131% since the start of the year. NVIDIA said in its quarterly financial filing that there's no guarantee that the company will finalize an agreement with OpenAI. In September, the two companies announced a massive partnership that would include a $100 billion investment over time by NVIDIA into OpenAI. Baidu CEO Robin Li this week became the latest major tech executive to say robo-taxis are at or near an inflection point for broader adoption. The company claims its Apollo Go robo-taxis are breaking even per car, supporting global business expansion. Chinese robo-taxi companies are expanding to the Middle East, while U.S. rivals have yet to enter. Futures are moderately higher. That's Your Money Now.
Join Terrence A. Gross, a local board-certified personal injury lawyer who has practiced in this community for almost 40 years. He'll be on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9, as he'll discuss all aspects of personal injury law. His law firm only handles people who have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join him today at 9 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
ADX Communications isn't just a company name. It's a home to four great radio stations and the area's most robust digital platform. And we're proud of the successes our local business partners have had, trusting our years of marketing experience.
Hey, it is Christina Leavenworth, your favorite realtor with the Leavenworth team at Levin Rinke Realty. And I love radio advertising for my business. When I go to conferences, I talk about it all the time, and no one believes the incredible results it gives. So I always love referring business over to ADX Communications for the best radio advertising out there.
To have your business become part of our success story, no matter if it's Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola's Playlist 94.5, or the area's most robust digital platform, call us today. 850-262-6000. That's 850-262-6000. And let ADX go to work for you.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 5:39, News Radio 92.3. Very foggy this morning, so please take some extra time, drive carefully, be extra aware. It's just like you would think it is. It's very, very difficult to see out there. Yesterday, I had a good chance to talk with Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of the city of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew. How are you?
I am great. It's always good to have you. I want to start with the smallest thing on my list, but I told somebody that I would ask you, so I'm going to ask you this first just so I don't forget and we get pushed out of time. The Board of Governors, or Board of Governance, I guess, for the West Florida Public Libraries has an appointment that comes from the city, from the mayor. I didn't even realize this. I thought that they were all county appointees because it's a county board. But it had been Lori Nesmith, and she has now been removed by you, is what I've been told. Explanation, context, I don't know. What should I understand?
Yeah, so like you said, that board is a county function. It's not something that comes across our desk very often. That being said, you know, the mayor's office has appointments across the board, whether it's DIB, ones like these, and we're assessing those all the time. And this board member was an appointee of the previous administration. We're always, you know, looking at, you know, what makes the most sense for the city. And frankly, that's what a mayoral appointment is that the next mayor can put in someone else after we put in someone. So, I have not had a conversation with this person or have met them. Obviously when we start to assess and we had a whole list of what our appointments are, we make decisions based on that. So nothing really more to it than that.
Got it. And, you know, you would think that your appointees on boards would be people that you would actually know. so that kind of makes right. sense to me a little bit. Lots of stuff to talk about, but the red light camera's been big. The number of violations is enormous. The violations going westbound at 9th and Gregory are massive. It's crazy. The question that keeps coming up, I know people believe this, and I know you love to dispel myths. The duration of the yellow light is set by the FDOT standard based on a formula. As I understand it, it's a minimum of 4 and a maximum of 6 seconds. First things first, did anything change with the duration of the light or the timing of the lights when you put in the red light cameras?
Absolutely not. This is the internet's greatest myth of, oh, they've shortened the yellow lights. No, that is not only is that not possible, and again, I think it's important to point out, so this conspiracy would also include FDOT,
right?
Because all of these lights are on FDOT roads that have the camera. So for this conspiracy theory to work, it would be that this would be the city's idea in cahoots with FDOT. Oh, and by the way, the camera system has zero interaction with the actual light system itself. It's a completely independent system. It has nothing to do with – it's not even connected to touching anywhere in the proximity of the equipment that changes the light. It's completely, utterly false that there's been any change to any light timing or anything like that. That's just what people say when they get a ticket in the mail.
Okay, which I totally understand that. So I wanted to give you a chance to dispel that. But let's talk solutions. If people are running the red light at 9th and Gregory so frequently, I've had two solutions proposed to me or two explanations that have been proposed to me. Number one is, could it be that they're distracted by the very bright digital signboard right behind the Bay Center, which is very bright and very noticeable and mm-hmm. easily to distract? Second, given that nobody in their right mind ever drives 45 on the bridge or 35 on Gregory, is it possible that the light timing is poorly designed because almost everybody's going 45 through there anyway and the yellow light should be longer?
All right. So, yeah, first of all, and again, those would be two assessments that would be put in, approved, disallowed by FDOT.
Right.
Just to be clear, that wouldn't
right.
be
of course.
Because of that road. And I will agree, certainly, in the sense that we have an issue from the bridge to that light, and we're proving it right now.
Right.
Right. Unfortunately. But with the wrecks, especially motorcycle wrecks coming off of the bridge,
yeah.
not having anything to do with the red light, but half a mile from that red light, but we've had some major issues coming on to Gregory. And should we be surprised, Andrew? It's a four-lane superhighway with nothing stopping you.
Right.
That you're supposed to, like you said, quote unquote, go 35 miles an hour in. And this is the a part and parcel example of why street design, whether you're talking about South Palafox or you're talking about anywhere in the city, that where you start to narrow lanes and you start to
Oh my God, you're reading my mind. I was going to ask you if you'd propose a road diet on Gregory. Oh my God. Okay, go on.
I mean, if I had my way, I mean, again, when you have a four-lane superhighway that doesn't stop anybody, and then should we be surprised that the light that has done more damage, the approach out of the 19 or whatever it is, that's done more damage than any by far, is the light going westbound on at the Bay Center. I mean, should we be surprised? And so, you know, I know that it's alarming for us from a crash and fatality standpoint, motorcycle standpoint on that entire corridor. And then we just now have yet another data point that shows. And so, listen, the light, if you go watch those 8 videos we just put up yesterday, I don't think it had anything to do with that video board.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's people blowing through the light, going around traffic. But it's just when we train the brains of our drivers to say, you know, you can just be hauling butt 4 lanes as fast as you want for 2 straight miles through our city, then why are we surprised at these results, unfortunately? So I would love to work with FDOT and see what we can do.
Oh, great. Well, I mean, you know, and again, slow the cars down and maybe lengthen the light, both could be on the table, because apparently that's the combination that's producing the results we're having. Last quick question on the red light cameras. Are they working? Do we have any evidence that they're either reducing crashes or saving time for PPD? Net, of course, given that they have to spend time, as you mentioned, validating the tickets or whatever, because that's the ultimate question, right? Is not just are people running the red lights, but is that causing crashes? And if not, why do we bother having the enforcement?
Yeah, we've got a cursory kind of 8-month in look at, and I mentioned yesterday in the press conference, 3 of the 5 lights we've seen decreases in any type of accident, and then 2 we've seen slight increases. But so we haven't seen some major number of decrease. However, also understand that's every type of crash. So we're digging deeper into that to say what does injury fatality crashes look like? Because remember, when this began, what we said was we would rather have a fender bender because a light is red and someone's going 15 miles an hour than someone getting T-boned in the intersection. So so I think that matters too.
Win if we're trading major collisions for minor collisions. That's a win too, right?
Correct.
Even though nobody wants that, but that's a win. Right.
And we fully expected a change of, of course, a change of behavior. People don't see it. They just see the photo and four sign and slam the brakes. You know, we understand. We've said that from the beginning. We know that there could be a temporary, flattening of that. But it is something we continue to monitor. And as I said from day one, if we do this for enough of a sample size and we're not seeing the results that we want, then we'll go a different direction.
Airport, again, brief thing, but it's important to people who are getting ready to travel for Thanksgiving or Christmas. A new line, new lane for TSA is open, right? You got 5 now?
That's right. Yep, we're our 5th lane. This is continued positive evolution from last March of having to reach out to Rick Scott because our lines have gotten so bad, you recall. I keep bragging on our team. I believe the longest single hour of being in line in the summer this past summer was 31 minutes. And so, meaning if you're there an hour and a half before your flight, get there whenever your carrier tells you to get there. Don't take the mayor's advice. You get there whenever they tell you. But what I'm saying is no one for the entire summer sat more than 31 minutes in line. And that's a huge step forward. And what happened is they came in and said, oh, geez, you guys are understaffed over here. So thanks to Senator Scott for kind of beating the drum for us and getting folks there. And so this is a second part of that. Was not only did they realize how low we were in staff at that time, 18 months ago or so, but they also said, oh, you don't even have enough equipment. So that's why I tell that backstory. This 5th line was just continued analysis of saying we might have gotten a little bit left behind in terms of making sure that we're modernized and we have enough people to get people through.
The pay standardization that Charles Baer had proposed that would only come into play after next year's election, which you have not even said yet officially you are running for re-election or not, but let's imagine most of us believe that you are or will make that decision. They did not vote in the increase in pay. Are you going to be okay? Are you going to?
I'll survive. I wasn't part or not asked to be part of that conversation.
Right.
You know, I've got a million other things and other people's jobs to create and salaries to worry about than that. I certainly didn't get in this job the first time wondering when pay would increase. If they want to put an item up, I certainly can't stop them. But Haven't paid. You probably paid more attention to that than I have.
The Escambia Career So It Works, the Superfund site. The folks showed up in mass to complain that nothing has been done for a long time. You had good news because you were at you were in D.C. And you had talked to EPA, and or at least something in the giant machine of the federal government is starting to work. What's going on?
Yeah, for people hearing this update, everybody, you buckle in. Sometimes the federal government at the EPA level takes a long time. I believe that we designated this as a Superfund site again the year before I was born, and I think in 1983, and we're still waiting for remediation. But as I certainly shared with the group that came in, is the first step of this, it was supposed to happen this year, and again, it's been delayed. So the funding is there, the $34 million, but it's been there since 2021, since before I was even in this job. So there was the delay most recently had been between the bandwidth of Army Corps and EPA over in Mobile. They've actually transferred some of that work over to the Jacksonville office of Army Corps to get some extra bandwidth. So that's good news. But what was supposed to start taking place, which is the remediation of some of the private property yards and stuff, in the Sanders Beach area, instead of starting this year, right now is slated to start in the summer of 26.
Okay.
So it's still moving at a snail's pace. We're waiting on that. And that's what I did share with the Deputy Secretary of EPA, is say, hey, if we're bragging about cutting red tape, I've got a great example that you can make with our Superfund site down here. And I also reminded them that, by the way, one of those yards that needs to be scraped is mine. So if you think it's something that we don't care about, or something I don't think about or see literally when I drive to City Hall every day, it is top of mind for us, and there's certainly no ball in our court in Pensacola in terms of slowing that project down.
PPD chief is an ongoing search process. Obviously, the union has come forward with their strong desire to have Eric Goss, Deputy Chief Goss, to be put into that position. I assume at this point you guys are reviewing applications, haven't made any decisions. Are you preferring to go internally, or do you have no preference at all?
My preference is to have the best person for the job.
Okay.
And it's not going to be defined by internal, external, or any of that. And certainly, it's no surprise that the union would want to support Deputy Chief Goss, who's been an amazing part of our police department and our community for a long time.
Right.
So no surprise there. But, we are going to have a standard process. And whether Deputy Goss gets it or he doesn't get it, I think everybody deserves, community deserves for this to be a well-thought-through process and that's taken very seriously, and that we ensure that when we're done, we've got the best person for the job, regardless of where they've come from or where they've been. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to meeting with Deputy Chief Goss on this as well. And there should be more news, I would say, probably by next week.
Oh, okay.
Of exactly what that process and timeline will look like in terms of finalists and selection and all that.
All right, I saved the big one for last, even though we only have about a minute, but we've talked about it a lot already today. 2,000 jobs, a triumph ask for shipbuilding at the port and parts building at the port that would not require any local match. What magic is this?
Yeah, how about that, right? Obviously, we've been excited and sitting on this one and working through due diligence of this one for many, many months throughout this year, and working alongside this company to see if this is something that makes sense. But listen, 2,000 jobs at $80,000 a year is a game changer for us. I mean, they would immediately at 2000, once they phased up, they would be the second largest employer inside the city limits. And for us to do that on our property and to not have nearly the amount of money that you've seen in other projects that has to come from the county or the city, I think it's an enormous win for us. And when you think about 2000 jobs at 80,000 average, that's $160 million a year of salary going into our community one way or the other. I mean, that is just an incredible impact that could have, not to mention what their mission is, which is certainly to help on the defense side and to make sure that our military is ready to go. So we love this project. It wins all around, and we certainly are excited to get it in front of the Triumph board and hopefully get the support. I believe it's the second largest Triumph ask of all time, I think. And so we know the gravity of that, and that's a big decision. But we're certainly excited about it.
If this comes to pass, and even if it's 1,000 jobs, good Lord, that would be enormous, right? This is also, as I read it, almost an entire scrapping of the port plan that came out a few years ago. But again, given the enormity of the win, if we can manage to pull it off, I will 100% take it. The only thing I have to say, and I don't need you to comment necessarily, but Project Maeve, who came up with Maeve as... I don't mean to insult.
Yeah, I don't know.
Somebody's got an aunt.
You'll have to ask the day-to-day folks. But I will say this. There's been lots of plans. You know what changes plans sometimes, Andrew? Is $160 million of annual salary coming in. So,
No doubt.
Steps and lookouts and all those things on port all of a sudden take a little bit of, unless those start paying $80,000 a year.
Right.
This jobs has got to be our number one thing, of course, and it always has been. So to create something like this would be just so huge for us at the port and for our region.
And by the way, so much for the people who always said, well, that D.C. Reeves, he's just in Quint's pocket. All he wants to do is develop it into condos.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not.
Yeah, I know. It's a sad day. It's a sad day for those things.
All right. Quick lightning round today. The penny is no longer being produced. Has D.C. Reeves ever collected coins? Is he sad about the penny going away?
Yeah, at a time I went to Buccaneer Coin Shop on Palafox Street when there was nothing else down there.
Nice.
Grow it up. But of course, they're in probably my mom's attic somewhere or got left behind somewhere. I have no idea where they are.
Sometimes in families, the husband or the male partner, he gets tasked with certain jobs, killing insects, hanging pictures, fixing cars, whatever. In your household, is there anything that you as the man are tasked with doing?
Killing insects, actually, is a good example. I'm the one that has to go get the wasp spray out for sure. All spiders, all hornets, all bees are in my purview. And this is especially funny because Sydney's looking at me right now while I do this. I can't be fully honest with you with all. I don't want to go through the entire list of everything I have to do. I have to do that whenever she's not here.
Got it. And last one, donuts, plain or something exotic?
Ooh, I'm plain. You adapt to your environment. You go to these breakfast things and, you see so many plain donuts. That's what you end up falling into. So
you've been acculturated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
on my donut game, yeah.
Well, Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure to talk to you. A lot of stuff. We'll still get to more of it next week. But thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
All right. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Hardware has been serving the city's general contractors and tradesmen for 174 years. We very much appreciate our customers and are thankful to be one of the only brick-and-mortar businesses in downtown Pensacola to always offer plenty of free parking. We focus on the commercial construction trades and specialize in architectural and engineer-specified products. Whether you're an engineer, project manager, purchasing agent, or subcontractor, Pensacola Hardware is your best local source for construction supplies and exceptional product knowledge.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
Go, 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 go.
Good morning, 558 News Radio 92.3. Very foggy this morning. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. It is very foggy, boy. It was difficult getting through that this morning. Hold on there. The fog is also in the newsroom here. I can't find what I'm looking for. President Trump said to meet the 20 hostages released by Hamas last month under a ceasefire deal with Israel. The former hostages will be welcomed to the White House today. Trump had originally planned to meet them immediately after their release, but their medical needs delayed that visit. And Lainey Wilson apparently stealing the show at the CMA Awards in Nashville yesterday. She won Entertainer of the Year, Album of the Year, Female Vocalist of the Year, and also hosted the ceremony.
All right, very good, David. By the way, I think they call that the fog of news.
Yes.
The fog of news is a common problem that we have. Oh, the House voting, I think it was unanimously, maybe one nay vote, to repeal that $500,000 payoff to the senators who had their phone records.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP Golf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
He signed it. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. And after President Trump gave final approval to Congress's resolution compelling the release of the Epstein files from the investigation into underage girls' sex trafficking, he posted on Truth Social the Democrat-led Biden administration never released a single file. Fox's Doug Luzader reports.
Attorney General Pam Bondi, meantime, and her Justice Department have 30 days now to comply, although some documents may be redacted and others may be withheld, citing ongoing investigations.
We have released over 33,000 Epstein documents to the Hill, and we'll continue to follow the law.
A Democrat has been indicted in a fraud case which Congresswoman Sheila Sherfalus McCormick tells CBS is baseless and a sham, claiming she's innocent. Sherfalus McCormick is charged with stealing $5 million from FEMA-related COVID funds and spending some of it on her 2021 campaign in Florida. There's a new Fox News poll out post-government shutdown.
President Trump's job approval rating is at 41%, down 5 points from a month ago. Across the board, voters didn't like how our leaders handled the shutdown, with the president at 62% disapproval and Republicans and Democrats at 63% and 64% disapproval, respectively. But when asked if the shutdown was a hardship for their families, 54% said it wasn't at all.
Fox's Gernal Scott, an economic report the shutdown delayed, will finally come out next hour. The September jobs report expected to show more hiring than August, but the unemployment rate remaining 4.3%. We will never get an October report. Instead, hiring last month will be included in the November numbers that'll come out next month. Country music's best were honored last night. Lainey Wilson winning CMA Entertainer of the Year on ABC.
I just came into here just want to celebrate country music. The love of my life, and I know the love of so many of y'all's lives.
America's listening to Fox News.
An official message from Medicare.
Medicare plans change from 1 year to the next. And this year, it's important for you to review your current coverage and compare all your options during Medicare open enrollment. Compare health plans, drug coverage, and costs. See if you can save some money, and don't forget to make sure your drugs are covered. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holidays.